This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, ice cream for the recently iced in. But first, this week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration upgraded Hurricane Andrew to a Category 5 storm. That is the strongest category on record, alongside Hurricane Camille in 1969 and the Florida Keys hurricane of 1935. Now, it has been 10 years since Hurricane Andrew crashed into South Florida. The storm was one of the most expensive natural disasters in American history. It left 250,000 people homeless. The devastation brought together neighbors who barely knew one another. Lynn Milner reports on one Miami neighborhood that formed a lasting bond.
This wooded street in the village of Pinecrest was once an avocado grove. The caretaker and his family lived here in a cottage built from Dade County pine. In the 50s, the land was parceled into one-acre lots, and a street was paved. Houses went up. Children played, grew up, and left. There were hurricanes. Donna, Cleo, Betsy. These weren't a big deal. Most of these houses were built to withstand bad storms. In late August of 1992, as Hurricane Andrew buzzsawed toward South Florida, the neighbors stayed put, including Lisa Dorfman, her husband Bob, and their three children.
The second story was where all the bedrooms were, and we chose, okay, we'll do this right. We'll go downstairs during this hurricane that's coming, and we'll situate ourselves together, so we'll all be together. And in the middle of the night, I said to Bob, I guess at about 3:30, I said, you know, that wind is really picking up. I think you should get the tape out, and let's tape those front doors. And he got the tape out, you know, oh, Lisa.
The Dorfman's house was newer than the others, a two-story wooden structure that faced east. Bobby Dorfman struggled to secure the upstairs door.
And the doors were shaking so bad. He said, you're nuts. I'm coming back down and I'm staying down here. And with that, the doors just blew open. And forevermore, we were in that bathroom.
Across the street, Meade and Mary Grace McCabe had secured every window with plywood. They'd been in their house 29 years and had seen their share of hurricanes. He was a scientist and she was a retired school teacher. At dawn, Mary Grace went to her front window and peeked through a crack in the board.
And I saw gray, just total gray. And I said, my goodness, I can't see anything at all. I can't see Dorfman's house. And then Meade said, I'll go out.
The Dorfman's house was such a wreck, Meade could only hope the family had run next door to John and Helen Whitty's house. He went there first. John Whitty was surprised to hear a knock at the door.
And I opened the door, and Meade asked immediately, are the Dorfmans with you? And we said, no, we're not. His face was ashen. He looked very, very upset and disturbed. I could tell by his demeanor that something was dreadfully wrong. And he said something along the lines of, would you come over there with me, their house has been destroyed. And of course it was right next door, it wasn't a long walk, and I did go out with the both of them, and as we approached the house, my initial thought was, if they were in that house, there's no way they survived. They're all dead.
The men found the Dorfmans in the 4x4 bathroom. Lisa and the three kids were huddled under a mattress in the tub. The room had two doors, which Bobby had stood and held as they buckled and waved and threatened to push in. John Whitty brought the Dorfmans to his house, where his wife Helen tried to let them in.
And I'll never forget it because I couldn't open the door. And when I finally opened it, the lock crumbled in our hands, hers on the outside and mine on the inside. And I opened the door, and she said, there is a God. And that was, I'll never forget her saying that.
The day before, they were nodding acquaintances. Now they were plucking the Dorfmans' underwear out of tree limbs and placing it in dry pillowcases. Bob Dorfman couldn't find his wallet or car keys, but strangely, he focused on locating a bottle of 100-year-old cognac. Mary Grace McCabe and her husband Meade remember.
The women became very intent on finding the car keys and the wallet, and the five men became very intent on finding this bottle of liquor. And, you know, I was really annoyed. I was like, I can't believe this. You know, what is more important than finding car keys and Bob's wallet, so we can get these cars filled up with stuff and they can go somewhere? And here they are out in the backyard looking for a bottle of booze.
I mean, well, actually, you know where it ended up? It didn't end up in the tennis court. It ended up under the wall that had collapsed from the second floor.
My.
And Bob crawled under the wall.
He wasn't
and pulled it out. It was a bottle of cognac, but it was from his grandfather. It was to be saved for special occasions.
Before he became a scientist, Meade McCabe was in the Navy and worked with electronics. His skills were gold over the next 18 days when the families had no power. Meade siphoned gas from the cars to run the generators.
They came inside and didn't tell me, and they took my turkey baster. And they were using it to move gas. They were very ingenious, the men were. Mm-hmm. It just gave us a lot of laughs.
At night, they shared dinners, most often on the Whitties' front porch. Because there was no ice and food was beginning to spoil, they emptied their freezers of forgotten foods they'd normally be embarrassed for others to see. James Hall recalls.
And all of a sudden, there it is, corn dogs. We're having corn dogs, tater tots, and filet mignon. You know, it's just, it was bizarre.
And then, after 18 days without air conditioning, light, television, something miraculous happened. Power. The AC units whirred to life. Everyone cheered. They opened the refrigerator doors just to see the light go on. Later, they gathered at the Whitties for a power-on party. James Hall recalls that Bobby Dorfman brought the cognac.
You know, there's some little moment of grace in this whole horrible episode. It's just this bottle of cognac. And it was only then later at that party that when Bobby made the most eloquent toast I've ever heard anyone make, a very simple but eloquent toast that basically said that his grandfather told him to share this only with family, and that this cognac that was so good that he should only share it with family, and that we now qualified as family, and he wanted to share it with us.
On a recent afternoon, Meade and Mary Grace McCabe sifted through pictures from the hurricane with Lisa Dorfman, who moved away but across still drops by to visit.
That's Whitty's.
That's Whitty's windmill right there.
Right. And here is...
They come across a photo of a young girl playing cards with a neighbor.
Right there.
She is freckled, blonde, smiling at the camera. It's Helen and John Whitty's daughter. She was killed 2 years ago at 16 by a drunk driver. She was rollerblading.
We felt a real loss when Dorfman's and the Halls moved away.
That's Mary Grace McCabe.
The street had changed forever. It would never be the same. And, of course, Helmery's death has truly devastated us also. When I open my front door, I see their front door.
James Hall recalls the day John Whitty lost his daughter.
He went out looking for her and found the cops there and the ambulances and so on. And then when they said, you know, he was so emotionally distraught that he needed to call somebody to come get him, bring him back, and he called Bobby Dorfman, not one of his other, you know, friends.
Even though all the families don't see each other often, the connection is there.
I could walk in right now and say, my life's in a shambles, I've got stomach cancer, I need to talk to somebody. And they would say, come in, come in. I haven't seen you for years, but come in. You're home. Well, that's the way I feel. I don't think I'm wrong. I mean, I was about to say I may be wrong, but I know I'm not wrong.
Today marks 10 years since Hurricane Andrew. And the neighbors are coming together at the McCabe's to celebrate. Bobby Dorfman will bring what's left of his grandfather's cognac. Lisa Dorfman.
There was only, you know, maybe 15 to 20 shots left. And I believe we have a 10-year anniversary shot waiting for all of us.
For NPR News, I'm Lynn Milner in Miami, Florida.